live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 189. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Dude, what's going on? What's going on, Crossroads listening audience? Man, it's been a minute. Feels like it's been like a month. It's only been like 2 weeks since we last kind of chatted up with the folks tonight, man. But, no, I mean, I'm excited to be back, Brandon. I know we got a, you know what I'm saying, a lot of things to talk about on the docket. So without further ado, man, give us the rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a big show this evening, NFL talk, news and notes from around the league. Quick recap on the Indianapolis Colts and Jacksonville Jaguars game from Sunday. A look ahead for the Colts. I've got some talk about the league itself as teams, contenders, pretenders, and kind of where the league is going as we are into the second half of the season now. All college football talk. Kind of we get our rankings again tonight at 7. We'll probably talk college football around 7. Kind of give our talk. We have Tanner's picks for this week. We'll do our picks. And then as well, like we did last time, when the rankings come out, we will talk about those rankings this evening. I believe it is 7 o'clock that those rankings will be coming out with the college football playoff. NBA talk, John. We've got contenders, pretenders in the NBA right now, kind of looking where the league is sitting at, as well as Indiana Pacers talk. Pacers had a game last night against the New York Knicks. A little bit of college basketball, John. College basketball has hit, so we'll talk a little bit about college basketball. Take your guys' calls and more. We got the Boilermakers. We got the Hoosiers. Both teams are in action this week. Boilermakers tonight here at 7 o'clock, and the Hoosiers have a big one tomorrow night against St. John. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Without further ado, I guess, we'll start off. We'll start off with NFL. Before I go to NFL real quick, I do want to do some thoughts and prayers and such for my family. It's been a rough week for my family in general, John. I've had two close people to my family have passed away in the last 90 some hours or so. So it's been a rough week. I was sick on top of that, so sick, and then dealing with those two losses. But I do want to say this show is in memory of Joe Clausen, one of the biggest Indiana Hoosiers fans that I have known. I hate to say as much as I hate IU, but one of the biggest Hoosier fans. Always love chatting it up with him. Indianapolis Colts, you name it, we talk sports. Long but not gone, but not forgotten. So this show is in memorial to him for that. So let's talk about his favorite team to start out. Let's talk Indianapolis Colts, John. Colts and Jaguars, they played Sunday. Colts started out with a huge lead, 17-0. I believe we've seen this storm before. They had the same thing they did against Tennessee Titans when the Titans came back. But Colts special teams with the block punt to score the first touchdown. And then Jonathan Taylor running the ball. Jonathan Taylor's having an MVP-type season. Colts win, John. They move to 5-5 now on the season. Kind of sitting where, you know, some of us thought after 10 games they would be at. They got two tough ones coming up at Buffalo and home against Tampa Bay. But, John, thoughts on against the Jaguars? Jaguars trying to make it a game late.
Yeah, and you can see how special Trevor Lawrence is going to be once that team kind of fills out around him, once they get a defense. Now, what we can credit Urban Meyer for doing, he kind of did out Coach Frank Reich in the second half, and he adjusted to Jonathan Taylor's, you know what I'm saying, it's basically torching him and scorching him on the ground. All right, some of the holes and some of the push that the Colts got for Jonathan Taylor in the first half weren't there in the second half, and that's what basically kind of got them into the game. Again, they still, you know what I'm saying, that team is still a little talent deprived offensively. They don't have you know what I'm saying, everything that they necessarily need. You know what I'm saying, explosive. Excuse me, explosiveness at the tight end, explosiveness at the wide receiver position. You know what I'm saying? And definitely, you know what I'm saying, they need depth defensively. So, but, you know what I'm saying, from the coach side, you know what I'm saying, they get, you know, dude, Brandon, my coach Twitter line, you know what I'm saying, I follow a bunch of those for the culture guys, right? And I follow a lot of, like I said, I follow a lot of coach fans, man. And, like, dude, they were blaming the defense, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, and then until that late fumble, you know what I'm saying, punch out recovery, you know, like, you know what I'm saying, I kind of went back on there and, like, man, all you folks need is basically, you know what I'm saying, kind of eat your words and delete those tweets, right, about calling the Colts defense, man, you know what I'm saying, lackluster or piss poor. I mean, I'm just going by what folks were saying, man. You got to understand, anybody, all those who listen to my voice, can the Colts secondary be better? Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? I'll be the first one to say that. It's a little banged up, right? As we all know, we got guys out. We got guys who are powering through and playing as well. But could it be better? Sure. But, you know, yeah. Brandon, have you watched a ton of football? As we all know, for many years, I you know what I'm saying, I don't want to tell you the age or whatever over these airways or whatever. But you know what I'm saying, both of us probably put together have watched, you know what I'm saying, over 30 years of football, right? There is no shutdown. There really is no shutdown corners, or with the way offensive or you know what I'm saying, or safeties. There's with the way offensive rules are kind of played right now and kind of judged right now. So the best you can get is a guy that can cover, right? A cover corner. That's what we really are kind of looking for in today's NFL. So, but what kind of, you know what I'm saying, always just irks me, Brandon. I know the quarterback that we have, Carson Wentz, again, dude, he's kept the, you know what I'm saying, the interceptions, like that what plagued him on his way out of Philly, he kept the interceptions down, right? I know he has some boneheaded moments, right? You know what I'm saying? You'd be clear to point those out.
Did it again, one of those, man, passes.
Right. With the left hand yeah. pass, I'm like, man, but to my point, man, the Colts are still like bottom four in red zone efficiency. So that goes to Carson not being able to read or you know what I'm saying, see what's coming or make an adjustment at the line when they're getting ready or potentially trying to score. And that kind of that and also reads to Coach Frank Wright. You know what I'm saying, some of those boneheaded I call it what they is, those fourth and one, or you know what I'm saying, instead of kicking the field goal and getting the points. Again, man, I don't want to beat a dead horse. We kicked the field goal in the game against the Ravens. The Colts are sitting 6-5 instead of 5-5, right? Because that's all they needed was 1 point to win. But, like, no, nah, man, you can't, as much as I can, you know what I'm saying, I can nitpick at you know what I'm saying, at Carson Wentz and the Colts. It is good from a Colts fan's perspective that they got the win. But, again, Brandon, like, you know what I'm saying, people want to pick on the defense and say, well, why ain't Darius Leonard doing this and why ain't Xavier Rhodes doing that or why is it Quiddy Pay got a registered sack and whatnot. Again, I'm not saying some of those criticisms are valid, but again, man, this is offensive football league. This is not the Pittsburgh Steelers that your mom and pops grew up with. This ain't the Chicago Bears that your mom and pops grew up with. This is offensive league. And if you can't score, you're not gonna be able. You're not gonna win in this league. That's the way this. You know what I'm saying? The rules have changed. So again, what you know what I'm saying? I play the next. You know what I'm saying? I play my analytical game by the numbers, man. And like I said, the Colts are. There's only 32 teams in the league, right? The Colts are sitting 28 in the offensive red zone percentage and scoring. So they got to improve that if they want to potentially make the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. They've got a tough one this Sunday at Buffalo. Home then the following week against the Buccaneers, which, you know, John, this, and we've talked about this over the weeks, you know, where all the underdogs won a couple weeks ago. I don't know what you really going to expect from these teams week in and week out. You keep thinking, you know, hey, the second half of the season, the teams are going to start winning that need to be winning, like the Tampa going into the Washington and losing to Heineke and stuff. It's, I don't know what to expect. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, they look back, you know, for 1 week against the Raiders, but they look great against the Raiders back to the old Kansas City. So what kind of KC team, they still have their flaws. It's, you know, the Oakland Raiders, you know, they couldn't exploit those flaws, but these other playoff teams, Tennessee right now, John, looks like the best team in the NFL, hands down, even with Derrick Henry out. They look like the best. Yeah. Anthony Simmons, or is it Avery Simmons or whatever, he is a wrecking machine right now for Mississippi State. He's playing the best ball out there, and the Titans are finding a way. They're, I mean, really, they're one possession away from being 9-1 instead of 8-2 and losing to the Jets, which is that's.
Right.
But Tennessee, look at the Patriots. The Patriots are starting to roll. They're turning things around. They just put a whooping on Cleveland. So I don't know when we can finally start saying, okay, John, from this point forward, these teams don't have an excuse to lose. Baltimore, that was a head scratcher. I was sick last Thursday night. I went to bed before the game started. I said Baltimore easily win this. I wake up Friday morning and my God, Baltimore, what happened? Losing to Miami. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. There's some bad losses right now, but to me, John, I think Tennessee looks the best and New England looks good as well. I'm not saying New England's good second place, but right now those are two good teams. The Rams, they losing to the 49ers last night. I didn't see that happening, except for when I saw the spread move. When I saw the line start to move, like a lot of people were betting on the Rams. Here's a little 101 in sports betting. The percentage of bets on the Rams was over 70%, 80%. But over 80% of the money bets, the big money, was on the 49ers. And spread went towards the 49ers, which said that the pros in Vegas believed that the 49ers were going to cover the game, even win it. Guess what? They went out and went straight out. So I don't know when these teams are going to show. The Packers, they look good, beating the Seattle. You know, Russell Wilson, I don't think he's going to be back just yet. But, you know, Rodgers is back. He's got something to prove. I don't know, John. I don't know how long it's going to take.
I don't know about nine things. I will co-sign everything you said about Tennessee. I think Vrabel's probably looking at potential coach of the year. I know, you know what I'm saying, we still got football to play, but with the injuries that's the same, you mentioned King Henry being out. So Julio Jones is probably going to miss another – who took an injury this past game. He's probably going to be out. He went on IR. He's probably going to miss at least three. Like I said, they took some lumps, and they keep on winning. Now, Tannehill has looked great. I don't think he's necessarily going to be an MVP candidate, but – you know, if there's a candidate for most improved player, you know what I'm saying, award or whatever, I think he might potentially get it. But all that aside, like I said, the AFC outside of Tennessee is kind of definitely unpredictable. And then you got a log jam with a bunch of 5-3, 5-4, you know what I'm saying, the five win teams, the Steelers, Bengals, and Browns. The AFC North is a log jam. You know what I mean? That's all. And then there's also some other teams out west, the Rays and Chargers, again, who have played better early on in the season, but have kind of faltered down here in the middle part of the season. So who's to say they can't get back hot? But like you said, man, Tennessee looks to be the best team going in. And I don't know. They don't look like I said. Vrabel's got them playing and believing. And like I said, they believe it in the system that he is. I don't see them like, you know, letting the foot off the gas, regardless of the injuries they have.
Yeah, I agree. Going to another game. Oh, well, hold on. Breaking news. And if you're not watching the Facebook live feed, we kind of prefaced it on there a little early. John, you could tell Coach K don't give a damn that it's win a title or bust this year for Duke. Duke freshman Paulo Bacharo, I said I butchered his name, will play tonight against Gardner Webb. Bacharo was just charged with aiding and abetting on Sunday for a DWI case with Coach K's grandson. I thought he'd be out. I told you they'd be suspended. I thought indefinitely for one game, a joke and everything, but Coach K and them must not give a damn and said, you know what? Shit, you're playing tonight. So Coach K said title or bust.
Yeah, the details on, like, I get it was his car, the car registered in his name, but the grandson's driving. Then some of those details are a little gray coming out when they came out. So hopefully there's no – we all know Coach K can walk on water as far as Durham, North Carolina is concerned, probably the state of North Carolina, right? We just hope that that he didn't wave a magical wand and kind of make this kind of – all this kind of go away in the name of basketball. They have to be – you have to be, you know what I'm saying, with Henry Ruggs, with that just happened. I know this is a separate incident, and that's a – you know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying, with that happening, everybody should be on a high alert. You know what I'm saying? Not just sports people, but everybody. Anybody who drinks socially or, if you got an addiction. You know what I'm saying? Just call an Uber. Call a taxi. Walk. Wherever you got to go. I mean, you telling me a Duke basketball player can't get somebody to come get him? You know what I'm saying?
Now.
Both of y'all drunk? You know what I mean? So, again, they are lucky. I won't say blessed. They're lucky that it wasn't an injury or a fatality, because again, if you know what I'm saying, we should learn from what happened just with, you know what I'm saying, with the Raiders, with the Raiders wide receiver, and because his career is done, and these guys are just kind of starting out their career. So
totally,
I don't know. I just hope what's name didn't agree with Magic Wand, like I said.
And I'm shocked. I'm shocked he's playing tonight. I thought it'd be a suspension at least for one game, but who knows? Moving on, the NFL, John. Steelers, they didn't lose, John, but they sure as hell didn't win the game. It's like the game didn't even play. Them and the Lions tie. Detroit stays winless, thank God.
You gotta love it.
But the fact that they tied, and I'm okay with a tie, and I seem like a lot of Steelers fans are okay with a tie. The fact with Mason Rudolph back there, that's kind of, I didn't think we could win, really, with Mason based on what we've seen the previous year. He made some good passes, but between fumbles, and it was a sloppy field condition. Freiemuth had a fumble late. Deontay Johnson in overtime had that big run, and then he fumbled it over. It's like, my God, we couldn't get out of our way. T.J. Watt got hurt. If we can survive with a tie out of that and not lose any ground in the AFC North, I'm okay with it. Just ruins my prediction of 9-8.
Well, I mean, who do they play? I think they got a tougher opponent, obviously, this week. But if you win that game, Brandon, you're 6-3.
Yeah, we play the Chargers this week. And
right.
Bosa
and
is on the COVID list.
Yeah, and then the Ravens meltdown is even more apparent. I don't know, man. It's kind of a game you wish you could play back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I wish we had Ben healthy. That would have been a totally different story. I don't care what people say.
Right.
If Ben Roethlisberger was quarterback, there we would have won that game, no question.
It gives me
more of a spotlight as well that we still have a quarterback position at the end of this season that we need to figure out how to address. And Mike Tomlin, being Mike Tomlin, after the game says he acknowledged the fight in the team, but he did not thank them and congratulate them. So that's a Mike Tomlinism right there. No, Mike, you guys went out there and played a game, and, that's pretty much what you did. You just played. You didn't play well enough to win. You didn't play bad enough to lose.
Oh, man. He ain't going to USC, man. So.
No. Hell no. But it's all right. We didn't lose to the Lions. Lions are still winless, and I don't know who the hell they play next week, but they'll probably lose to that one too. So. How about them Dallas Cowboys, John? Them Cowboys put a thumping on the Falcons. Dan Quinn got his revenge. It looked great.
Gotta love what Dallas did in a bounce-back game. If anybody remembers the bad taste the Broncos put on the Cowboys season by basically blowing them out, stop stuffing the run, making Dak look mortal. Except for the 16 points that they basically kind of scored in garbage time. You know, that was a good bounce back game for them. Matty Ice is done, Brandon. He's going to retire. they might as well make him a position. They might as well get him a position in the booth right now.
Uh-oh. You just saying it down. That's it. It's a wrap.
Dude, CBS, Fox, call Matty Ice. See if he wants to be the next Tony Romo or Peyton Manning.
He'll probably go NFL Network. They don't want him there. They got plenty of room there at NFL Network. All right, we got our boy here. Let's bring him on. Been a while since we talked to him. D-Cop, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on, Jance? Y'all doing okay today?
Yeah, doing well, doing well.
Hey, I know it's been a while, man. I've been in an undisclosed location, so I've been in a bunker for a while. So I wanted to get out and kind of share some sports talk. Obviously, football is the big deal, what we're dealing with. So also Pacer stuff, too. So I got a lot of direction I want to go to, but what I want to hit first is because I wanted to follow back up on our conversation about the NCAA FBS playoff, right? So,
okay.
So my thoughts are this, right? Oklahoma looks like they were a fraud, okay? We've got Georgia's the best team in the country. We know that. Behind them, there's about six teams. Obviously, my Tide is one of them. The challenge is, like I told you guys, they're not going to beat Georgia. But here's my challenge. You have a two-loss Bama team. Ohio State's going to lose to Michigan. I'm kidding. Oklahoma just lost, right? And they'll probably lose OSU. So who was your final four in that scenario? Because I'm curious because I want my boys in, but like I've told you guys before, they're the 10th best Bama team in the last 10 years.
So, I've got Georgia is obviously automatically in. The next three teams, I have a total of four teams that could be. Obviously,
okay.
Alabama. I don't think the committee is going to sure most of this already. So I don't think they keep Alabama out even if they lose. But Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and then Cincinnati or Oregon. Right now, obviously, Oregon's that spot. But things could fall to where it could be another team. I'm just saying. Could fall another team.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. You know what? But you're right. But you're right, and here's why you're right, because there's Alabama fatigue, there's Oklahoma fatigue, no one in the Pac-12 has a chance, ACC doesn't have a chance. So there's a real chance that Notre Dame, Cincinnati, Oregon deal, right? And maybe somebody sliding in there in the back door, i.e. Oklahoma State. But there's Alabama fatigue. And when Alabama loses to Georgia, the only way they're in the playoffs is if it's a, 24-21 game. Bama's in the playoffs if that's the case.
I know.
But I'm gonna tell you.
I know. Me and Brandon are probably gonna expand on this a little bit later. I'm glad you brought it up early in the show. They don't want Cincinnati in the playoffs.
No. Money,
they don't.
Money.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's money and ratings, too, because, again, I shared stuff with Brandon a couple weeks ago, man. Cincinnati's best game got 500,000 viewers.
Yeah.
Where in a Michigan State game gets you like 3 million. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But
it means something,
but think about it,
man. It means something, Johnson. It means something.
But think about it is, though, Cincinnati still on a neutral field. Hell, I didn't even say Cincinnati could probably beat Michigan State in East Lansing. What I've seen.
You said you think they can or they can't?
I think Cincinnati could beat Michigan State. On a neutral field, I think they can handle Michigan as well. Ohio State would probably be a problem for them, and so would Georgia, right? But hell, they only lost by Georgia last year. I get there's different teams from year over year. They only lost to Georgia last year in their bowl game by three.
Well, that's a big talking about point right now, too. A lot of people are talking about that. Here's my challenge with that, man. As the season progresses, their strength of schedule just is plummeting because Indiana
I'm glad you brought up that because everybody, a lot of the teams that we're kind of talking about, Oklahoma State, they play Tulsa. Then they beat Tulsa. Oklahoma State beat Tulsa by three. Nebraska, they played Oklahoma. They 23-16. Ohio State beat Nebraska 27-16. So we basically kind of talk about it. When we talk about like opponents, I watch too much college football on Saturday. All these teams play one another. They all play their cupcakes. They all there's a cross examination that can be made here. But
well, the reason why I'm saying that to your point. I listen to Neuheisel, and he's one of the most respected on the radio, right? So, and he brought up the fact that, you know, these teams have had six wins against four loss or more teams, right? And he broke it down to Ohio State. He broke down Oklahoma. And that's the challenge. But here's the issue for Cincinnati. They don't have the cachet, man. We've talked about that before. If you don't have that cachet, it's a lot harder to overcome a weaker schedule, and Cincinnati doesn't have that cachet. Don't put them in, but I'm just saying this is what people are going to be talking about, and I'm talking
about
the people that matter.
Then there's, okay, I'm going to tell you like this because you're about to get riled up now. There's cachet and there's overratedness, and I'm getting ready to tell you right now, the best conference in this field right now is the Big Ten. The best – now, out of the top 25, who are the top 25 teams playing the SEC? The SEC, not this year. The SEC, in years past, might have been the best conference. Not this year. Not the most competitive. That's what I mean by best. Not the most competitive. Not Florida.
I'm in agreement
with Tennessee. Definitely not Vanderbilt.
I'm in agreement with you. I'm not an SEC guy. I'm an Alabama guy.
Well,
I don't give a damn about the SEC.
That's how the college football playoff guys rank it. They basically trying to tell us if a two loss. What I'm trying to tell you is Cincinnati ain't gonna make it. But I'm trying to tell you they want to be 12-4 for whatever for some ungodly reason. They ain't gonna let them in for some because here's the thing, DeKa and Brandon. There's only one. The Pac-12 got one team in the top in the host AP top 25 and the CFP. But there's three Big 12 teams, and they ain't got a shot to get in the top four
because of cachet. That's what I'm saying. Because of cachet, so we got to be realistic about it. Well, what we think is best isn't what they think is best, and that's my challenge, man. And I know we talked about expanding the playoff, and that's all great. But just remember, well, you all don't remember, maybe you do, Brandon, you remember when Jonathan remembers? Excuse me. Hey, the NCAA tournament was a 32 team tournament.
Right.
Now it's 66. And we're still complaining. So my point being is it doesn't matter. The 13th team is going to be pissed. The 9th team is going to be pissed. The 7th team, it doesn't matter. Someone's going to be pissed. I'm okay with that. So that's why
understand. But see, that's the thing. It's not about wins and losses. It goes back down to money, and it goes back down to TV ratings.
And when I say cachet, that's what I mean. Money, TV, all that cachet encompasses all of that. And that's all I'm saying, right? And when this all shakes out, man, I truly, truly believe Cincinnati is going to be in the outside looking in, pissed, right? Because hey, we had an undefeated season, and what they're going to say is, hey, you beat Notre Dame and that was it. And that's
well,
what they're
again,
going to say to
hold
them.
On,
I'm not
hold
saying
on,
it's
hold
right
on,
or wrong.
Before we let you go, you can't get Cincinnati. Nobody wants to schedule them either.
But also you can go. But see, that's you can go back to years and years of that. Well, I think was it Central Florida? Not Central Florida. It was where.
Yeah.
So I get that, but that doesn't get you any style points, man. That ain't gonna get you in the playoffs because no one wants to play you. You know, so what I'm saying is, I'm not saying Cincinnati shouldn't. They
right.
shouldn't be
Remember
in. I'm just
how,
saying
what,
this.
Well, then it's a, what I already say is a facade. Then Because one, you got one poll saying one thing, you got another poll saying another thing. But then when Gary Barter, the chairman, and some other clown comes up here and says, well, the reason why we said Oklahoma is not a top five or even top, where they, at one point they were top, they had like seven, right?
Right.
And in the CFP, they said their best win was against Texas Tech and Kansas. I'm like, are you serious? Did they? I mean, I get it. You came on here and said Oklahoma's a fraud. I don't necessarily believe that. They took the Big 12 East itself, just like the Pac. This weekend, Utah got a good chance to beat Oregon. And then we're going to have a whole different level of conversation.
Well, here's what will happen. If that happens, the winner in that, man, is the SEC, though, is what I'm saying to you. The winner is the SEC. And I'm not, homering it. It's just a fact. The SEC is going to win if and when Oregon loses, which I think they will. It's going to win when Oklahoma loses again, because here's why. Oklahoma State doesn't have the cachet that Oklahoma does. It's a mess, man.
I don't know. And you better go back and look at that team, man. They play some of the same teams. Oklahoma played Oregon State, a Pac-12 team. They played Tulsa. They played Boise. Some of the same teams that Cincinnati played.
I'm with you, but just from the naked eye, man, OSU doesn't have the same ring as OU. So that's going to put a damper on the Big 12 right there. I'm just saying. It's a mess, and I don't think there's a real fix.
If I told you who Michigan played to get to 9-1, you'd laugh at it. Western Michigan,
no, believe me,
Northern Illinois.
I had a debate about it today. But what I'm saying is, this is what we've got. Teams aren't going to play nine strong teams because they know they don't have to until there's pain and scheduling. I'm just saying, period. This is Big Ten, SEC, ACC with Clemson. Until there's a pain point, man, that's the issue. It's not
what
getting
did,
it to 8,
what did
12,
Rocky,
or 16.
Hold on, remember, I know you've seen Rocky 3 when he got knocked out, and then Mickey told him, he said, man, Rocky was wondering why he thought he was, why he lost. He said them dudes was hand-picked. So you telling me Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh and all these other clowns are hand-picking their opponents to juice up their record?
Listen, you can't hand-pick everything in the SEC, but you have your bye weeks. You have your New Mexico State at 59-3, which I took my New Mexico State with the 50.5, and I lost it. So don't get me started on that. But my point being is, you can't hand pick in the SEC. You can take those two games out of conference games, those cupcakes, and that's what they do. But think about cupcakes.
What happened to Florida? They're gonna fire their coach. LSU,
they should.
Florida,
Dan Mullen. And if you all seen my post, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. He was a glorified offensive coordinator under Urban Meyer, and he rolled the coattails. And he and Tom Herman both have proven they aren't that guy.
It would be interesting to see. I'm not saying Alabama couldn't play a Big Ten schedule, okay? I'm not saying Georgia couldn't play a Big Ten schedule. It'd be real interesting to see them have to play Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State.
Jonathan, this has been 1 year, okay? Let's not get too excited, okay? One year where they've had five top 20 teams.
The product of the SEC is getting ready to get watered down. Yeah, the money's coming, but the product of the SEC is getting ready to get watered down when Texas and Oklahoma come over.
Believe me,
the biggest fraud I've ever seen.
I get that, but I'm talking about the right now. So I'm hearing these Big Ten fans say the same thing you said. Look at the Big Ten. This is 1 year. Let's see you do it on a consistent basis.
Anytime you got a Purdue team that beats two top five teams happen, man.
You got the best receiver in the country, Warren Central product, David Bell. He makes a difference. He makes that difference.
They had the best receiver last year.
He's more mature. And that's what I'm saying. Do not talk trash about David Bell now. Don't get me started now.
I'm not.
That's my guy.
I'm just saying, it's a heavier gauntlet in the Big Ten than
this year. This year.
Man, stop it. That dude is still a snake oil salesman.
And
Jimbo Fisher and the Texas A&M snake oil salesman. Stop it.
Okay, listen. I know that you guys, you know what, I could do this all night. You and I are going to be chatting. We're going to be chatting about this because it ain't over yet.
If you clown IU, so, I'm going to say IU would blow Vanderbilt out by 40. IU would blow Vanderbilt out by 40 with Michael Penix's bad ACL.
Brandon, are you all doing libations live on air? Are you all doing libations? I need to know this.
You probably lost Brandon when you disrespected Purdue.
Hey, but listen, I'm not going to hold you guys because I got my cousin's in Shelbyville. He had a flat tire, so I got to go pick my cousin up at his job. So somewhere on exit, I think 109 or something like that. But I love the show as always. And Jonathan, we will catch up on this because we're not done yet.
We're chat up.
Definitely. Again, love the show, guys. Next week, I'm talking Pacers. So cut me off on NCAA football and let's talk Pacers because I've got some thoughts about my boys.
Yes.
All right, you guys be safe. Take care.
All right, take care, Dan.
All right. Well, I tuned out. I couldn't get a word in. You guys are going back and forth. I left the room for a couple minutes.
Oh, God.
I left the room. I couldn't get a word in. I said, "Well, this is their segment."
It ruffles people's SEC folks' feathers when I say the SEC is top heavy and that the Big Ten got a little bit more weight to it. You know what I'm saying? So the gauntlet that the Big Ten teams have to play, I still think it's a little bit. I've always kind of thought it was better. Obviously, the talent, Alabama usually has the crushing talent they have for the last. I mean, that's why they got so many championships. But
I'm hoping for heavy drama in the college football playoff
because
two teams are going to be pissed off are going to be Oregon and they're going to be Cincinnati. This is a scenario that could play out. You would have Georgia, you would have Alabama, you would have Ohio State. And you would have Notre Dame. And you know who would be pissed off? Oregon.
I don't know how
because
Notre Dame,
they're going
to
say,
Notre Dame won't lose a game. They won't lose a game going anymore. But I just don't know how Notre Dame leapfrogs that second.
Saying the two teams that could be pissed would be Oregon because they beat Ohio State head-to-head. But Ohio State gets four of them because they're going to be style points in their Big Ten championship game. And then Cincinnati's pissed off because how the hell does they do their thing, but yet somehow Notre Dame's name brand goes ahead of them after they already beat Notre Dame head-to-head up there? So you got two teams that already beat these teams head-to-head. They're going to get passed up in the rankings. This could be chaos coming. So I can't wait. I hope it is.
If Utah beats Oregon, that's the start of the chaos right there this weekend.
Just so everybody knows, Utah is the favorite this week. It very well could happen. Man, I don't even know where I want to go right now. I don't want to do college football too much because we got it at 7 o'clock, top of the hour. I want to go NBA. I want to talk Indiana Pacers. Last night was a travesty of a product of basketball. These guys had up a 12-point lead in the third quarter and proceeded to go 2 of 20. Yep, I said it. 2 of 20 in the fourth quarter last night against the Knicks. They ended up losing by 8.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brogdon, 1 of 6 in the fourth. Justin Holiday, 1 of 4 in the fourth. Sabonis, 0 for 3 in the fourth. Miles Turner, 0 for 2 in the fourth. Caris LeVert, supposed to be your scorer, right? 0 for 3 in the fourth. McConnell, 0 for 2 in the fourth. Miles Turner stat line, 3 points, 3 rebounds. Boy, that's going to get you a hell of a lot, earn that contract. John, he had 3 more, he had 1 basket more than you and me, and he had 3 rebounds. That's it, more than us. I want to see Miles Turner. I put it on Twitter yesterday. I want consistency out of him. I don't care if it's even 10-6 or 10-8 or 8 points and 12 rebounds. If I can get that every night from him, that's what I want. I don't want this 40-point game and then 3 points. I don't want this big, huge 40-point, 10 rebound, and then a 3 and a 2. I'm like, come on, Miles. I want consistency from you. And you can't do it when you're on this big of a stage, Mecca, against one of your rivals, and you lay a dud.
Right.
Now, he's not the only one. He's not the only one. None of these other guys are going to get a pass. Because when you shoot 2 of 20 from the field, that's pathetic, especially when you're playing professional basketball. And I don't understand why Carlisle went with both bigs last night down the stretch against Obi Toppin and I can't think of the other big they had in last night for New York at the time. But I didn't understand the lineups.
Well, I mean, Brandon, I know we've been gone for like 2 weeks, man, so we do have to try kind of lay some groundwork for this. Coming off that West Coast road trip, the two games that I think the Pacers kind of got away from them was the Portland game and the Denver game. Some games like that you would want to have back, like, because like they were dogfighting them. What you said is kind of been a running theme. Pacers up in the third quarter. They've been up in the third quarter in every single one of these games that they play, except for the Sacramento game. Well, they was up, not big, but they've been up big in almost every single game that they played last four, right? And then they have this fourth quarter meltdown where they think they've won it and they can kind of coast and do 10-point lead new era of let's shoot threes and potentially, Olay fouls that the referees are called. The referees have gotten a little bit stronger on the foul calling and the flopping, but they, if you sneeze on a guy, they're going to call a foul and he's going to the line, right? But, like, nah, man, so
I'm just tired of the excuses. There's one guy, Reggie Sykes. Well, we weren't playing the full streak. We didn't have TJ. We didn't have Duarte. Okay, well, he would know anymore being the biggest Indianapolis Colts homer of all time. What's their mantra? Wasn't it always next man up? Isn't that what the mantra is? So what the hell is that for the Pacers? Because it ain't happening.
Well, this team for one is not necessarily good enough without a superstar, right? Just remember that. The team ain't good enough to have players on the court not be participant, not to make impact. We had some great efforts out on the road trip from TJ McConnell, if anybody can remember. We also had some pretty good efforts out of Miles on the road. Because they don't beat Utah without him. Right, the fight that he showed.
The fight,
they don't beat Philadelphia without him, and the balance that they had between him.
No Simmons, no Embiid. He should beat him.
It doesn't matter. Well, no. It doesn't matter. You still want to go out there and compete and win the game. Because again, like in this early NBA, man, anybody, dude, Brandon, look at the standings. The Washington Wizards are at the top of the East. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So again, teams can win on you if you don't bring your A game. The biggest thing with Miles Turner is not bring his A game every night, two or whatever, to fall for him. He checked out, and like in game criticism, I'm assuming that he gets on the coach. He checked out. He checked out even more. You can call it not playing enough college basketball and being challenged at that point. Because I do believe he's like a one and done or two and done kind of player, right? He came out early, right? And not, there's some things that can be said to that. My personal opinion. Now, that's a whole nother conversation leave competition to go run for money, and then you don't learn necessarily how to play tight games and how to, well, dude, we did how important is it? Dude, you got 82 games, so you was like, all right, man, we lose this one. We got four more in front of us. We can win, as long as we go on a 4-game win streak. Well, you got to win this one before you go on the 4-game, maybe this is your 4-game win streak, right? That's they don't think like that. I think that's something you learn in the lower level basketball in college. But again, and maybe in an NBA, in the G League. But again, that's a lane that Miles didn't come up with. But again, I go back to my point. This team without a superstar, I get it that Sabonis is an all star, but without a superstar, this is what you have. You can't have dud players, and I'm not saying any guys, but you can't have guys not contribute. We didn't get the effort out of TJ. Went 1-for-8 last night. When the other night against the Kings, he's like Steve Nash. He put on the best Steve Nash impersonation. You know what I'm saying? Sabonis, you know what I'm saying? You look at Sabonis' stat line, it looks amazing. But again, Brandon, who's the leader of this team? The coach, but who's the leader on the floor? You know what I'm saying? They say it's Brogdon, but is it, you know what I'm saying? Does anybody really believe that? You know what I mean? So again, they play great team. When this team plays great team basketball, they can potentially beat anybody. Unfortunately, they got to hit shots. They have to not play the analytical game. Brandon drives me crazy. You got 2 7-footers or 2 guys in 6'11", and one of them wants to keeps on shooting threes. Like, dude, if it ain't going down, you're going to have to put yourself in position to either A, get a rebound offensive board, which Miles Turner is capable of doing, and get some point blank, you know what I'm saying? Get it going for yourself. Again, but that's got to be on the player. Again, the coach, how many coaches we got? I'm not saying I ain't getting ready. I know I was on a different channel chiming in three shows ago about potentially trading, and I was kind of leaning towards that way. I see what it is. The Pacers are going to wait for Miles Turner to turn into what they want him to turn into. But if that's the case, then you're going to potentially have these roller coaster up and down type of games where he scores immaculately, rebounds immaculately, block shots, and you get a complete game out of Miles Turner, and then you get these dud games. And that's what it's going to be until they decide to eventually trade and cut ties with him. So
yeah.
I know that doesn't necessarily sound. But that sounds like an excuse to you. I'm sorry. That's kind of what it is with this Pacer team because they don't have a superstar.
Yeah, this team. Looking ahead, they've got the Detroit Pistons tomorrow night on the road. You've got the next game is at Charlotte. You already lost opening night at Charlotte, so you got them. You've got a New Orleans Pelican team that comes to Indianapolis on Saturday. There should be 0.0% of an excuse to lose that game to New Orleans on Saturday night. Then Monday you go to Chicago, take on a Bulls team who I said before the season was going to have a great year. And they would be competing for that top spot in the Central. And then Wednesday night, LeBron, Street Clothes, and Russ all come to town on next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, for the Lakers, night before Thanksgiving. Lake shows here. This team, and I heard some idiot today on the radio said the Pacers are going to win 8 of their next 10 games. I'm finding a hard time looking at it based on this schedule. We're sitting right now 12th, tied for 11th or 12th in the East. Yeah, you can say, you know what, hey, Brandon, it's early, and it is early, and the Milwaukee Bucks are in the same boat. They're 6-8, 11th in the East. But you got to see strides. This team has got to put things – they got to put games together. Yeah, you can say, well, Brandon, they've won 2 in a row or 3 in a row, or they won 2 in a row, but you know what? Good teams win those, but then also win the games where they're up in those third quarters. They win those teams. We're not that team that wins the games where we put our foot on a team's throat. A good team. I'm not talking about the likes of Sacramento, the Spurs, the crappy teams. I'm talking about good basketball teams. You look at the teams we've beaten. Okay, we beat the Heat. That's one. We did well. Okay. And then we beat the Spurs. They're, 2-6? We beat the Knicks. So we're split with the Knicks. We beat the Kings. We beat the Jazz. And we beat the Jazz, and it took getting the best two guys ejected from the game, so Miles did something well there. And then we beat the Sixers, who was without two of their top players. So to show against a good team that they can win. Now, Detroit, I'd like to say you win, but Detroit's starting to show some heart. Charlotte's already tough, so see if we can go in and beat them. Pelicans, you should win. Bulls would be a good test. I think Chicago, if you can go into Chicago, beat Chicago, which we never win in the United Center, ever, hardly, then I'd like to see that. And if we can beat the Bulls and beat the Lakers back-to-back nights, I would look great, especially then when you got Toronto coming in, Milwaukee. So I would like to see that. I did find it, John, interesting. I just saw a clip. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I said his name wrong. He had a quote today, John, via go.com. Go.com, not G. I thought it was GQ for a second. I just love challenges. What's the next challenge? The next challenge might not be here in 2 years. That might change. I'm being totally honest with you. I'm always honest. So Giannis has opened the doors to playing for another team in the next 2 years. And he's
because
wearing a T-shirt that says where to go.
Okay, I don't know, man. I'm a focus on their particular problem. They're, you know what I'm saying, they've had Middleton out with COVID. They had Little Holiday out with the injury himself, so they're kind of getting back to it. Their issue of being like 6-8 kind of speaks to their cohesiveness, you know what I'm saying, and getting back into it again. Those two guys, Holiday and Milton, had extended season in the playoff run last year, and you know what I'm saying, if we remember, they also played in the Olympics, man. So they played a lot. They've logged in a lot of basketball.
Right.
And then when I look at the top 10 teams in the conference in the East, man, the Cavs are not going to be fifth. They won't be there. That's a team that can go that looks strong here in the early sets of team. Actually, I mean, it's a position that's where I kind of thought the Pacers would be, but you know what I'm saying, we are not. But the Cavs won't be there just because it's Cleveland. There will be some, you know what I'm saying, some substitutes, some losing that they kind of go through. But that kind of says, you know what I'm saying, speaks to like when the Bucks get their troops back. You know what I'm saying? That's when the swing kind of happens. So the Pacers have to play their best basketball. And you know, Brandon, you're right. Beating the best teams, beating the better teams is definitely should be, you know what I'm saying, an inexcusable type of thing. But they also got to punish the Orlando Magic of the world. They also got to punish the young Detroit Pistons of the world and walk out, you know what I'm saying, with their heads held. I mean, gain some confidence. So, you know, Oklahoma is also a team, you know what I'm saying, that's the team when you know what I'm saying, you play your reserves and whatnot. You should extendedly. But like, nah, man, the East, I don't know, Brandon. The basketball season is still a little early. But you cannot be, you know what I'm saying, wasting games if you're, you know what I'm saying, if your team like the Pacers in this particular position where you're already kind of behind the eight ball. A six game win, but you said you heard somebody talk about an eight game win streak. That would be fantastic, but highly unlikely. Could the Pacers put together three game, four game? Sure, but eight game, I don't know. When you talk about Giannis going somewhere else, you know, with success kind of comes other ears chirping in your ear, other people chirping in your ear, and other, you know what I'm saying, Hollywood or even like Broadway chiming in and say, well, if you come here, this is what you could get. We could probably get you an airplane and this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? Some things, and then you think about the landscape and what it looks like in Milwaukee. I've been to Milwaukee. I went to Milwaukee when I was a little kid. I liked it. It's a nice Midwestern city. But I like Midwest. I grew up here in Indiana. I mean, Milwaukee, this is a lot of lakes up there. But when you think about what you could get in a California, you got oceans and whatnot, and you got, you know what I'm saying, Hollywood and all the things that kind of come with that, and potential and even more endorsement deals outside of what something like a smaller market could offer you. It doesn't surprise me that, you know what I'm saying, he's hearing this. Again, he's also a guy who's given his all to this particular city in Milwaukee, played there since he was 18 years old. He's been how many MVPs he's won there, right? He has that on his resume, has a title on his resume. It would not surprise me. I don't know. He seems like a loyalist kind of guy, and you know what I'm saying, wants to finish his career with the team he kind of started. But it wouldn't surprise me if he does eventually go somewhere, because the other places have more to offer, and it's hard for small markets to compete with that.
Yeah, agree. By the way, Carson Wentz announced the birth of his daughter, his second daughter, today on Instagram. So the Wentz family gains another one. So luckily didn't miss any football games for the birth. John, Anthony Davis, the Lakers are in their woes right now. LeBron's out, could be back this Friday. Street clothes is seems like he's hurt every other minute. But he came out and said, we're not good enough. We suck right now. Russ is on a different level. Russ in the press conference the other night just sat in there on his cell phone, didn't even answer a single question. I know it's early. We talked about it's early. So Lake Show's going to get it right. They're going to get it together, right?
They got some similar – you still there? They got some similar issues that the Pacers have. They go into the fourth quarter leading. You know what I'm saying? They go into fourth quarter leading, and then everything kind of goes to crap in the fourth. Right now they're sitting in the seventh spot in the playoffs. There's a couple teams probably nipping on their heels. They might be able to catch them and overcome them for that particular spot. But this is a team that's kind of been put together that nobody kind of saw being seventh. Not at this juncture in the season. So. But I'll be honest with you, Brandon, it, you know what I'm saying, with LeBron bringing out, you know what I'm saying, it's on the two other all-stars that they have to get it done. It's on Anthony Davis and Westbrook to get it done. If that means answering questions from the press that you don't want to answer, it's on you to get it done. If that means finding some offensive cohesiveness defensive cohesiveness, which is what they're kind of struggling at, they need to figure it out. Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook should be enough to get it done with LeBron James, you know what I'm saying, in street clothes for however long. And that's just it. As the young man that
and
he
Melo's
is.
Playing well off the bench.
Yeah, he is. Although he had a bad shooting night a couple nights ago, 1-for-12 in a bad loss, but they rebounded against, you know what I'm saying, San Antonio. But Anthony Davis got to get it done. Like, the ball got to go through you. You are, you know what I'm saying? With his skill set, double-double I'll be honest with you, Brandon, you should have a double-double before the halftime. You know what I mean? How you call for the ball? Like, he should have at least 20 to 30 touches. I'm not saying shooting touches. I'm saying the ball should run, the offense should run through him, you know what I'm saying, he's their best player until LeBron James gets back. And technically, he should be the one. Remember that those comments they said about when they brought him in to, like, pass the torch to be the next big Laker big man? You would never hear any Laker from the past, you know what I'm saying, not want the moment, not want the spotlight. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a jive Laker big man like Elden Campbell, but no Shaquille O'Neal. No, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know what I'm saying? You want this. Like, dude, this is more like LeBron James, man. That's just 20 more touches that you should get. So, you know, they got to figure it out. Again, they're not – if the playoffs are today, they'd be seventh. You know what I'm saying? They'd be happy playing whatever little kooky rules NBA got right now for the bottom two teams or whatever. but no excuses from that team. And like I said, I think he can criticize. He can come out and the press, you know, pull that out and, you know, saying, and kind of and maybe blast it, maybe glorify it. But he did say it. So if we being the team he's playing on ain't playing better, then you got to lead them to get to playing better because he is the best player that they have.
Yeah. Just so you know, the new Brady documentary, John, 10-part documentary on ESPN Plus, first episode today. It's all great. It's pretty great. So it's supposed to be up there with Last Dance style with Brady. So a couple things. Tonight, good one tonight on TNT, first game. The Warriors coming to Brooklyn, take on Durant, who's leading the points right now. I think it's over 26, 27 per game. Harden and Durant against Steph and Draymond and the Warriors. What to expect with this game tonight, John? I think KD and them can get it done, but got to have a good third, and Hart had a great game a month ago, but you got to have another one, I think, against the first-place Warriors.
Yeah, it's going to be a game that you're going to get the best shot, at least for the first three and a half quarters out of both teams. There's still a lot of buzz about, you know what I'm saying, Kevin Durant joining that team to ride the coattails of the Golden State Warriors. I'm probably one of the main one people saying that, right? So Durant has played, you know what I'm saying, at MVP level, the caliber, man. His shot efficiency is been like he does. I mean, he's averaging 29 points, and he's not shooting anything below 45%. So, like, man, those are crazy stats. He's efficient, right? I also believe he's like their leading rebounder, which I don't necessarily know that that's what they want, but he also is their leading rebounder, and he's second on the team in assists. So, ain't nobody questioning Kevin Durant. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of question marks around James Harden. Like, which James Harden is going to show up? Is he going to show up? You know what I'm saying? Is he going to make boneheaded plays where, you know what I'm saying, or is he going to, you know what I'm saying, whine to the official about not getting foul calls? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Can he be clutch? You know what I'm saying? That's the real thing that we kind of worry about James Harden. Steph, you know what I'm saying, that team, the rookies that they've gotten back. I don't think Wiseman's back just yet, but I know Kuminga's back. They haven't necessarily used Moody just yet in his fullest capacity, but you know what I'm saying, I think that team just waiting on Clay to get right, if you know what I'm saying, potentially in middle part of January, and hopefully they can, you know what I'm saying, whatever you know what I'm saying. Again, I don't think he's going to be back to supreme splash where he's one of the best two way players and playing great defense as well. But you know what I'm saying, even if he's at half speed, you know what I'm saying, that makes them very dangerous, you know what I'm saying. And if you get Wiseman back, that allows, you know what I'm saying, them to have even more bigs, you know what I'm saying, in the middle. So I'm just looking for a real good entertaining game between these two particular teams tonight. Like I said, they're going to get each other's best punches, and you're probably going to see a good show between the two MVP candidates in Curry and Durant.
Right. Trying to think if I have anything else NBA.
Is Kyrie? I got some. Is Kyrie gonna play? Is Ben Simmons gonna play?
Do you realize Kyrie Irving could be the first NBA player that the only game he played all season could be the NBA All Star game?
Yeah, I'm surprised the NBA allowed him to be on the ballot. But yeah,
he could. That'd be the only game he might play.
I think he was waiting on a mandate out of New York. About a couple of weeks ago, you know what I'm saying? It was, you know what I'm saying, if not a mandate, but, you know what I'm saying, what is it, you know what I'm saying, to see if they were going to allow him to play. You know what I'm saying? City officials could see if they're going to allow, you know what I'm saying, unvaccinated, you know what I'm saying, people to conduct their business, not just NBA players, but unvaccinated people to conduct their business. And, you know what I'm saying, the governing bodies, folks in New York City said no. So, again, you know what I'm saying, I know he's been cited at a couple college basketball games, man, just living life, you know what I'm saying, that's all gravy or whatever. You know, Brandon, you know what I'm saying, we have to also put to the mindset that some of these guys already cashed out and got generational wealth already in their back pocket. It's crazy to me and you when, you know what I'm saying, Victor Oladipo can walk away from $120 million. It's crazy to me and you when we can hear about Ben Simmons, you know what I'm saying, getting taxed every day that he misses a game or whatever, $360,000, you know what I'm saying. But here's what's also crazy, Brandon. The Houston Rockets, I mean, I say that, but the Houston Rockets said John Wall ain't going to play, and they're going to pay him $45 million. So the arrogance and the you know saying the you know saying the you know the goes both ways, man. You know, so
all right, here we go.
Go ahead.
The top 25 being released: 25th Mississippi State, 24th Houston, 23rd is Utah, 22nd my Roadrunners UTSA, University of Texas San Antonio, and 21st Arkansas. So. Right there, so far, two SEC teams so far. So let's make a note of this for John.
but Pete Brandon, they put Utah in so that there is – they must be listening to our show, right? They put Utah in so that they can say there's two Pac-10 teams, Pac-12 teams in the whole AP top 25. So just in case,
right.
Just in case Oregon loses, or if they
it looks
win,
good for it,
that,
right?
They just got that rub. They just got that rub from Utah.
Yeah, it's not bad of a loss if you lose to a ranked team, right?
Right.
As this is going on, another more news just came out. Michigan. Michigan's Juwan Howard has received a 5-year contract extension through the 2025-26 season.
Oh, wow.
So he is staying up in Ann Arbor for at least another five years. They've hooked him in.
Brandon, remember there was rumor that he was going to come back to the NBA? I guess
yeah.
there was probably some truth to it. There was some flirtation. But Michigan wants him to stay around, so there you go.
Absolutely. As this is kind of going on, John, we'll kind of talk our picks and stuff from this past week.
That's cool.
And rankings-wise. Actually, here we go. 20th, NC State. 19th, San Diego State. 18th is Pitt. Iowa comes in at number 17. And number 16 is the Aggies, Texas A&M. A&M lost to Ole Miss. The Lane Train, they fall to number 16 in the rankings now.
Ooh,
John, our top five, our top 10, I still have mine the same. My top four teams are still the same. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and Cincinnati. I've got Oregon now at 5, Notre Dame at 6, Michigan at 7, Oklahoma State at 8. Oklahoma fell down to number 9, and I've got Lane Train and Ole Miss at number 10.
Brandon, you said Pitt. You need to, when you get a chance, man. You need to look deep. You need to deep dive into the Pitt quarterback. I know you was talking about
he might.
The Steelers need to look at the future. That, you know what I'm saying? That kid, I think his name is Kenny Pickett. You might want to start. You get your eyes and ears on that kid. That dude's got like he's gonna be in the Heisman room. I think. I don't think he's gonna win. Because they don't have the wins and losses. They don't have the wins to back that up. Even though they are in the top 25, Purdue 32 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. How does that translate to the NFL? You know what I'm saying? You want
Tomlin's
that,
already talked to him. They here's the thing. Pittsburgh Post Gazette says that from Heinz Field his office, Tomlin's office, he can look out and see the Pitt practice field.
Yeah.
So he's keeping tabs on him. Last time he did this with somebody from Pitt, it was James Conner.
Yeah, he's on my radar for next level kind of quarterback. I don't necessarily think he'll be in the top 5 or 6 picks.
Oh, wow. 15, Wisconsin. Wisconsin at 15. 14 is BYU. 13 is Oklahoma. So the Sooners dropped 5 spots and fell to number 13. Ole Miss moved up to number 12. Baylor has moved up to number 11. No Baylor love from Jonathan on his top 10 rankings. He's got Georgia.
A two-loss team.
You've moved up Ohio State to number 2 after beating the Boilermakers. I know a lot of people are going to be wondering how you have Ohio State jump up 3 spots.
Like when we took the call from DeKalb. So I thought Purdue beat, correct me if I'm wrong, Purdue beat Iowa, Purdue beat Wisconsin, right? When they were in the top 10, I do believe, a top 5, no, top 10, there's another team that they beat. They beat Penn State, I do believe. So they beat, you know what I'm saying, 3 top 10 teams, and then Ohio State just went in and manhandled them. You know what I mean? Same team. I mean, O'Connell played well for the quarterback for Purdue. You know what I'm saying? Ohio State just had a little bit more than Purdue could, you know what I'm saying, that Purdue could handle this past Saturday. So I thought the win versus Purdue justified them leapfrogging. Come on, man. They played New Mexico. Alabama played New Mexico State. Stop it. Stop it.
You gotta get them prepared. Get them prepared. Get the kids prepared, right? As they always say.
Dude, that ain't even a crimson and white game, man. Stop it.
Are you justified okay with Oklahoma dropping five spots with just one loss to number 13?
Yeah, man. I mean,
you got them at number 10 on yours.
Yeah, I don't. I watched enough Oklahoma State. Enough Oklahoma. I still think they're a good team. Again, the Big 12, those are the top three teams in the Big 12, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Baylor. So, you know what I'm saying? For one of them to beat one another, hell, Oklahoma State beat Baylor already. You see what I'm saying? So I won't be surprised. Oklahoma will still make it to the SEC. To the Big 12 championship game, unscathed, mm-hmm. and potentially still win the Big 12. But like I told D-Cott, like I told you, they don't want the Big 12. They might want Oklahoma, but they don't want the Big 12 to
10. Move up two spots, Wake Forest. The Demon Deacons have moved back into the top 10 at number 10 overall. They are not on either of our lists as number 10.
You know why? Because if I put them on my list, they would be a fraud. That would be a fraud for me to put them on. Man, Wake Forest, stop it.
Hide behind a fake name forever. Just stop. You're a fraud. Just stop.
Speaking of fraud, while I'm waiting to announce the next one, John. Do you need to talk to the kids down in Austin, Texas right now?
Oh my God. Texas. They've never lost to Kansas ever in program history. They never lost to Kansas Jayhawk football in program
history. It wasn't good.
And Sarkisian has to be, I don't care what you say, he does.
Stop it. He's on the hot seat.
He got to be. The way they run the
year.
Brandon. It's quote-unquote Tom Herman's team, but it ain't like Tom Herman had a horrible season last year. It's just that he didn't have a top four, top five season last year. That's why Texas fired him. So they brought Sarkisian in. He was supposed to make everything better. He's supposed to be this guy that got the raw deal from USC. Remember,
nope.
Top seven nationally ranked team coming in next year. I don't want to hear any excuses next year, but I still think they're on the hot seat. I still think he's on the hot
number
seat.
Number nine, Oklahoma State, the Pokes, the Cowboys come in at number nine, 9-1. They moved up from the 10 spot. Oklahoma State at nine. We both had them at number eight in our rankings this week. So. It's going to still be a great – I would have loved to see Oklahoma State the final week, Bedlam. I would have loved to see that playing out a little bit now. It's going to suck for Oklahoma State because now if they get the win, I don't know if they've got enough of a push if they beat Oklahoma based on the rankings.
Right. They don't.
Unless they play twice. I mean, I guess if you beat them the first time, they're going to drop even further. So.
Yep.
But number eight is Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish move up one spot to number eight, John. I had them at six. You have them at six. So Irish are slowly climbing, John. There's a scenario, and I know you could see it in that far distance, but there is a scenario where I can see this damn committee putting Notre Dame in.
Of course they can. I mean, when I say who can draw – like, nope, the folks down in South Bend and the Catholics around the world love Notre Dame.
Uh-oh.
they just do.
everybody down in Austin, Texas, let's just breathe a little bit, all right? At some point, every team has lost to somebody within their conference. At some point, whether it was in 1930, 1940, 1912, it's happened. So people just need to relax. It just so happened that Kansas football has been horrific.
They put a basketball score on them, 55 points.
I thought it was a basketball game being played. I mean, it was a bad weekend for Texas, just for football. And then they go and take on Gonzaga, and they got that ass whipped by Gonzaga. It wasn't even close. I was hoping Chris Beard and they would be able to keep that thing close. They were 7-point underdogs, and Gonzaga took that thing from the start, and Drew Timmy had a career high 37 points.
37 looks like a lottery pick. Man.
Drew Timmy,
Chris Beard, he better get that. Yeah, Chris Beard better get that situation under control, man. He's got a little bit more time than Sarkisian, though, to be honest with you.
I was okay, the rankings moving forward. Obviously, number one, unanimous Georgia Bulldogs, 10-0,
yep.
Putting on a show.
Oh, yes.
And I'll say it again because I've said it every week and since preseason. They were my pick to go to the national championship game, people. Just called that before. I called them at Oklahoma. I'm at least going to get one of the two right. So
there you go.
Number two, Alabama. Crimson Tide stays at number two. No change there after beating New Mexico State, as John said. Setting up a big game with them against Auburn. And that's not going to be an easy one, especially going down to Auburn.
Right.
Number three is Oregon. Oregon Ducks stay at number three as expected, setting up the big showdown. Number three, Oregon. Number 17, Utah at Utah this week. The Ducks are staying at number three. So
wow.
I don't expect that much of a change, John, because the top seven teams all won this week. I don't think there was a significant win that, to me, I was like, oh, my God, like they're going to jump somebody. I just didn't see it. I think the Buckeyes should stay at number four when they announce it here. I think the Bucks are going to stay at your number four spot. And then and then you probably have Michigan. And then because Ohio State comes in at number four. So, but could you see the committee, John? I can see the committee moving up Michigan here to number five. They're just getting it a little bit closer
only,
to number
only,
four, number five
only,
to play.
Only for, right, only for them because Michigan beat Penn State.
Ratings, baby.
Good
ratings.
Game.
You know who's in charge of college football playoff, right? ESPN.
Man. I'm glad
they want
ESPN
ratings.
Don't do ratings.
By the way,
I guess NBA
Pacers,
does do ratings because they
I saw a report today. Pacers have the second lowest attendance in the league right now. Second lowest.
Right. That's because ain't nobody watching the game. You can't watch the game on TV. You can't. And the product, once you.
Yep.
Come on, man.
You're right. I think Michigan, they're gonna get that a little bit closer. They can have Ohio State, Michigan, 4 versus 5. And, well, I guess that game is actually going to be on Fox. It's the Big 12. It's the big noon kickoff game. So it's on Fox this year. So Michigan and Ohio State. So ESPN won't get that game. Number five, they gave the Cincinnati still. Cincinnati's sitting at number five after their win. I believe they play play seven, John. I would have to say it's still going to say Michigan and then Michigan State. So I don't see that changing at all. And I honestly think Notre Dame's better than Michigan State, personally. So I don't.
Well, what's weird? Here's what's weird, Brandon. As we wait for the next teams to be called, is Ohio State going to sweep the state of Michigan this year?
Cool.
I don't know.
I think so.
I know. We teased
Michigan got an impressive win this week at Happy Valley. They did.
Yeah, and they can run the ball and defense looks good. But like again, if Ohio State gets their best punch, I think Ohio State is better than Michigan. But I do believe the game is in Michigan this year. I think it is.
It is. It is.
But will he go? So if they beat Michigan, will they go to the playoff, right? Michigan will.
If Michigan beats Ohio State, they'll go to the Big Ten title game. Yes.
Will they? So then Ohio State will be out. Period. Because they'll have two losses. Right.
Yes. Yes, they would be. But they could still get in.
They won't. The only two-loss team to get in would be Alabama. I'm gonna stick to my guns on that one.
Yeah, it's so Michigan at number six and Michigan State at number seven. That is how it's played out. So interesting to see how that. John, let's go dive into our picks. Looking at last week. Let me bring the page. I'm at 7-2, so 7-2 again. We are officially over 500 now. I've been battling back after the horrendous week I had a couple weeks, about 5 weeks ago. 7-2, 48-43 with one tie. You and Tanner both went 4-5, and now Tanner has leapfrogged you by one game, 52-39. You're 51-40. Well, now, so Tanner has leaped it. First game, Central Michigan at Ball State. The Fighting Cardinals, home game. Tanner is taking Ball State in this game. I'm going to take the Cards as well. Why not? And I'm sure you are going to as well. So there's a unanimous.
I'm going to take Ball State, but I'm going to tell you right now, man, Central Michigan reminds me of what Ball State did last year. They score in variety. They can put up numbers on you in variety of ways. They can air it out on you, or they got running backs. They can just run it down your throat. Whoever gets the most defensive stops in this game is going to win this ball game. I think this is going to be a high scoring affair. It might even be like the close one that Ball State just had with Northern Illinois, where basically it kind of came down to the last seconds of the game. And anybody remembers Northern Illinois, last week's Wednesday matching, Northern Illinois kicked a field goal, and that was it. Ball State didn't have the opportunity to do anything about it. So Central Michigan sitting right there 6-4 in play for a MAC championship. Man, Ball State wants to get to a bowl game. This is where it starts. So, of course, I'm going to pick Ball State. I'm a Ball State alumni. I'm a Ball State homer, all those things. But it ain't going to be easy. But I'm going with Ball State.
Okay. Next one up is Purdue at Northwestern. The Boilermakers, 12-point favorites at Northwestern. I think Purdue wins and covers this game as much as I can see them going up there to lay an egg in Evanston. I think Purdue does get it done.
Nah, man, they can't. They got to take some of that mojo. I get it. They got their, teeth kicked in against Ohio State. Got behind too many points, man. Kind of made it interesting through a little bit, but they just got down too much against Ohio State. They don't, that's something that program's going to have to go looking for, like, how can they get, more depth at, different positions on defense specifically. How can they get more depth on defense so that when the starters is gone? Because I think starters on both offense and defense are pretty good. They play right there with Ohio State. Just when you get, deeper into the bench, Ohio State's got you. So Northwestern, in years past, I think this would have been a letdown game because I think Purdue, this would be a bounce back game for Purdue. So the 12 points, I think they cover. I got Purdue rolling.
Okay. The next one, Michigan State, number 6, Michigan State at number 4, Ohio State. Buckeyes, 19-point favorites in this game against Michigan State. The odds makers give no respect to Michigan State. Tanner is going to take Michigan State to cover the 19 points. Still believes Ohio State will win, but they will cover.
Man, did Michigan State really look that impressive when they beat IU? That's what when I think about, some of the like opponents they've already played. I do like Kenneth Walker, the running back, Kenneth Walker Jr., the running back from Michigan State. If Michigan State can get time of possession on Ohio State and kind of control the game that way, a formula that they've used, in prior games, they can hang with Ohio State, but again, it kind of goes back to like what I said about Purdue. They don't have enough to back them up at once those starters are out of the game. And the quarterback, come on, Brandon. I think I can outthrow their quarterback, their starting quarterback right now, and I'm 47 years old. Sorry, Sparty. Shots fired. But, yeah, no, I see Tanner took Michigan State, but, like, there's no way. Ohio State is not looking – this ain't the Michigan team that they're going to sweep. And I don't think they're looking, I don't think they're looking over them either, but I think they crushed Michigan State.
Okay. I've got Ohio State covering this as well. I think if the game was at Michigan State, this would be more of like a 13-14 spread. They're playing their best football now, and it was good for them to get that loss out of the way early in the season against Oregon.
Right.
Next one, Iowa State at Oklahoma. The Sooners are 4-point favorites. I've got Oklahoma State to get back on track here. They need to try to get some style points. I've got Oklahoma. Tanner's got Oklahoma.
Yeah, you might as well make it a sweep, man. Iowa State, they stunned some other teams. I think they beat Oklahoma State like week five or so. You know what I'm saying? They won't. Oklahoma should really have a bad taste in their mouth. I know they have some controversy at the quarterback position, like who should start and who, you know what I'm saying, and should this kid start, should the, you know what I'm saying, whatnot. I think they get back on track, man, and take the rest of the season to try to, you know what I'm saying, play their way back into some type of at least playoff, like pissed off contention, because they can't get back in. But again, that particular program wants to win its conference, and I think they, you know what I'm saying, they follow suit and do that. And then this, it kind of starts where Iowa State's been an up and down team, more so even a disappointment, more so than anything. We all had higher hopes for Iowa State this year, especially with their running back Hall. He had Heisman hope. He was, you know, a Heisman preseason watch type of deal. But you know, saying they have played spoiler in the past in this season, but not this game. I got Oklahoma.
Okay. Georgia Tech at Notre Dame. Notre Dame 15.5 point favorites. Myself and Tanner are both on Notre Dame on this one as well to cover. John, are you with the clean sweep again?
Man, ain't no ACC school that can beat Notre Dame. Be interesting to see them in Pitt, right? If Pitt was on their schedule this year, but ain't no ACC school that can beat Notre Dame this year. So, give me Notre Dame.
All right. Next one's Arkansas at Alabama. Alabama 20.5 point favorites. Once again, me and Tanner both on Alabama. Does John make it a clean sweep, or does he think Arkansas can cover that 20.5?
I think Arkansas is going to cover the 20.5, man. I'm going to go the other route, man. Arkansas has a hot sauce midseason, man. They took some lumps here and there since their big win against Texas. But I think they can cover that.
Okay. SMU at Cincinnati. Cincinnati 12-point favorites against SMU. I think Cincinnati wins this one. They need to try to get some style points. It's not going to be easy. I think they probably get a field goal late to win by 13 and cover. I got Cincinnati. Tanner believes SMU will cover the 12 there. So we're split on there. John, who do you got?
I'm taking the Bearcats, man. Bearcats just like to win. They like to jump on you early. And, you know what I'm saying, they feel sorry for teams in the second half. They put the third stringer out there, and the other teams kind of come back on them. That's not necessarily smart. That's not necessarily a smart way to play. This college football playoff system where you got to have style points, you know what I'm saying? They want you to brutalize the team. They want you to score 40, 50 points on a team and only allow them to have like 17 on you or whatever. But that's not the Bearcats style. I think they covered the 12.
Okay. Minnesota -7. Minnesota 7-point favorite at Indiana. Me and Tanner, this might have been the easiest game ever. We both took Minnesota. John, do you think the Hoosiers have any life after getting the beat down of a lifetime against Rutgers?
Man, I thought it would be a more competitive game against Rutgers. It wasn't. Oh, man. I did. We did say that Rutgers was on the come up, and they are. So it's going to be interesting to see Rutgers going further. You know what I'm saying, next year and even the rest of this year, how they play spoiler for some teams. But they just teed off on IU and just put a total damper on IU. What is IU like now, 2-7 or something? Something
still haven't beat a Power 5 team.
Compared to where at last year, feeling mile high in the sky and how feeling good about it going the direction of the program. The program is taking basically, you know what I'm saying, they took two steps forward, five steps back. Minnesota. Minnesota surprisingly lost to a kooky Bowling Green team like midseason, but they won't.
Yeah, they should have beat Iowa last week. I had them beating Iowa.
Yeah, that's probably the reason why Tanner's in front of me, because I took Minnesota. So, but like, nah, man, I like Minnesota in this game.
Last one, the big one, number 3, Oregon. At Utah. Utah is a 3-point favorite in this one. Oregon, the number 3 team in the country, is an underdog. I see pictures of this one like a mouse trap, like the Chiefs is sitting on the trap, and it tells me to go ahead and take the Oregon plus the 3 points. The better ranked team is getting 3 points going to Utah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and take off the trap, and it's not going to clamp down right on you.
Wow.
Conventional wisdom would say take Utah here, but guess what? Hey, Oregon needs this one. They know what they need. God, they want to represent the Pac-12. Pac-12 is going to be all behind them in this one. The Pac-12 officials will be behind them on this one. You got to believe I've taken Oregon and the 3 points. Tanner's taking Oregon plus the 3 points.
Wow. I'm going the other direction. I'm taking Utah, man. Oregon, last couple games, if they need to stop, they're holding on to this Ohio State victory more so than anybody's ever held on to anything in the history of football. They're holding on to it. If we had to put style points on the last two wins that they've had, I always credit teams for winning, period. You know what I'm saying? But the Cal, when they played Cal, was horrible. They should have dominated Cal. And I forget who they played. I believe they played Washington State last week. They only won by like 10 or 12. Again, a team they should have just dominated. You know what I mean? I'm going to say this, man. It's not that like Utah. Utah has played spoiler this year. They beat the final Herman Edwards in Arizona State. They also beat USC, I do believe, at home. But Utah also had some bad losses, okay, to be honest with you. But they've done their due diligence in the last three games. They beat Arizona. They beat Stanford. They beat UCLA. And convincingly, like I said. So they can put numbers up on you. They can put 40 up on you if you blink. So if this game was in Oregon, I would definitely, you know what I'm saying, put all my Monopoly money, you know what I'm saying, on Oregon. But Oregon, like I said, it's the game is in Utah. And like I said, Oregon has never necessarily looked as strong in their last three outings as Utah has. So I'm going to go with Utah to win this game and to cause the anarchy, and cause potential anarchy come Sunday and Monday.
Perfect. All right, John, we're going to do some quick ad reads. We come back, we'll finish up. Shorter show this evening. We'll finish up with a little wrestling, a little recap of wrestling this past week. So we'll be right back after these three ad reads.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right. We just want to thank our other sponsor, Max Custom Motorsport, where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specialize in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. As I said, they ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. They'll get you taken care of. And then we also want to thank our other sponsor,
Wiseman Logistics, man. Anybody looking for a job in the
holiday
market,
season.
Wiseman Logistics. They ship both commercial and domestic. Call them at 1-877-744-6212. They are hiring right now. Immediate hire, looking for CDL drivers and warehouse help. Also, if you're not privy to, you know what I'm saying, how to use the phone, I don't imagine how you're not. Just jump online and fill out an application at WisemanLogistics.com. Like I said, they are hiring. Tell them Crossroads Sports, Brandon Johnson, that sent you. And like I said, that'll get you a little bit of a resume favor if you say Brandon and Johnson sent you. Like I said, Wiseman Logistics is hiring.
Perfect.
It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name. When last year I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
And, John, with a little bit of wrestling to finish out our show, last week me and you went to AEW, Dynamite.
Yep.
I thought it was a good show, good matches. The end was the contract signing with Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. And then Saturday night was the pay-per-view. I watched the pay-per-view. I ordered it. Every match, damn. I mean, the damn thing started at 8 o'clock. Just didn't get over to midnight. It was right at midnight when I got over.
Right.
I was clutching my eyebrows, or my eyes, trying to stay open to finish to watch it. Hangman Page wins the world title. He's your new champ. Bryan Danielson, excuse me, he won his eliminator match against Miura. So now you have babyface versus babyface at some point for the world title coming up. What they're going to do with Omega next will be interesting. Inner Circle got their big win in their match against Dave Lambert and them. But, John, I guess a little bit your thoughts on first Dynamite and then kind of how the pay-per-view went about.
Well, you know, the little bit of a letdown. I wanted to see Sting. I've seen Sting a couple times. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to see Sting. We didn't get that. We got a lot of surprises at the Dynamite show. We got like seven run-ins.
Yeah, it literally was. Hey, I didn't get Judas. I was a little upset with that.
Right. We didn't get the full Judas intro from Jericho. The crowd was hyped for it. You know what I'm saying? But we did get to see Cody Rhodes. They did get to see to a loud pop CM Punk, and then Ruby Soho, who's also a West Lafayette native, Indiana native. She got a huge pop and brought out some of her family and whatnot. Hell, shout out to the guy. Also, guy, how can I forget? Shout out to the guy who beat cancer. Shame on me, I cannot remember his name. What's his name? Toby?
Yeah.
Tony?
Tony.
I can't remember. Tony. But yeah, they brought him in. I mean, it was kind of fan friendly. They brought him into the ring. I couldn't imagine. He took a selfie with Tony Khan and the wrestlers, man. I thought that was kind of cool. But for the most part, and then, oh my goodness, how could I forget about the great spot that homegirl, she did off
Rush.
The top rope. No. But yeah, I get to him too. He had a great, I'm talking about, oh my God. What is her name? Shame on me, man. Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa had a great spot off the top rope and to the floor. So again, very entertaining. Like, Leo Rush came out there dressed like a Power Ranger. but for a little guy who probably weighs $119, he puts on a great match. And so does what's the guy from the Dark Order? What's his name? John Silver. John Silver, who's also about 5'4", but built like a little thumb, like a thumbtack. You know what I'm saying? Again, they put out great. You know what? QT Marshall, Brandon, you know what? If it don't work out with him in AEW, I can see him going over to the other side and becoming a top heel, man. That dude got a lot of, people were booing him. Like, he's got a lot of natural. You want to boo his face anyway. He's got that kind of face, like, man.
Right.
You want to hate him, but I'm not saying I'm saying he's being underutilized here in AEW. I know he was in at one point, maybe about a couple months ago, he was in a big feud with Cody. I don't necessarily think it was, you know, saying set up right, but I could see him going over. The one thing I did kind of got back from the whole show is Tony Khan. Vince, it's not like, you know, and I hate to even compare it. It's not like Vince doesn't come out there and talk to the people, but usually Vince kind of comes out there and talks to you in character, right? He's Mr. McMahon. It's some type of conflict between him and some other wrestler or whatever, him being some type of matchmaker, you know what I'm saying? Tony Khan came out there like a teenage boy that wanted to please everybody and put on some great matches. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of feel I kind of got from Tony Khan. I'm not saying that just because, you know what I'm saying, he's a billionaire or anything like that. I'm just saying that from my lens, that's what he looks like. He looks like an exuberant little kid that just wants to, you know what I'm saying, entertain people for that particular band, wants to put smiles on people's faces. And then, like I said, there was a lot of smiles on people's faces, like last night, that night that we went, the Wednesday night that we did. So outside of that, man, I thought it was, if you want me to grade the show, I give it somewhere in the B category. type of show.
Yeah.
Again, you know what I'm saying? For me, not necessarily seeing Sting come out, you know what I'm saying?
You about marked out when the lights went out.
Right, or even Darby Allin, who I've never seen before live in person. You know what I'm saying? Kind of wanted to – kind of, you know what I'm saying? These are
yeah, we did. We saw him fight the first time they were here.
Oh, right. I'm talking about – I meant this time. Right. But we didn't see MJF
right.
either, who remarked about your $5 hair.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh,
but,
it's a $27 haircut.
No, I'm sorry. But, right. But, like, good show. And then the follow-up they had this weekend – like you alluded to, had a lot of surprises and a lot of things that, you know what I'm saying, people kind of expected to have him. Hangman Page won his first AEW world title. And then my guy, who I've been wanting to come, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Impact or Mr. Ring of Honor, Jay Lethal, as Ring of Honor has kind of fallen by the wayside. He's now over. He's now all elite, Jay Lethal. All elite. Dude, you have Brandon. There's
Is
no
he still doing the flair?
World. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting to. No, Brandon, he also does a Macho Man Randy Savage. You know this, right?
Yeah.
That's Machismo.
Yes.
Yeah. So he does them both. I think though, he has to have clearance to do them both. And probably from the families and not necessarily WWE, if that makes sense.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of heat about Flair kind of coming over. Those things might still be in play once, you know what I'm saying, the smoke clears about – you know what I'm saying, whatever happened on the airplane ride from hell, right? I think they're going to do some cool things with Jay Lethal. And like you said, it's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens with Kenny Omega. Does he go on sabbatical, you know what I'm saying, as a lot of wrestlers do, or does he end up starting a feud with somebody else?
And you had a lot of good things to say about the Acclaimed on Wednesday night as well. You did.
Well, they're entertaining guys. You come out, Max Caster. Max Caster comes down there and raps just like John Cena used to do. But Max Caster is a heel, so he's dissing. He comes down there dissing his opponents. He actually got in trouble. He got a 30-day suspension because he said something that he wasn't supposed to. He called the bunny something unflattering during one of his raps. But they're entertaining him and his partner. But great show. If AEW coming to your town.
I was upset your girl didn't show up.
Who's that?
Jade Cargill.
No, she was here. Do I follow her online? I don't know if that's stalkerish or not. But I thought, she was saying that she was going to show up or whatever. And you know what I'm saying? And the hell, they take the AEW dark.
She probably thought
there.
You were there, so that's why. She probably knew
man.
It.
Don't get me in trouble. I'm 100% fine. Fiance now.
Jane Cargill kick your ass.
man, I thought it was a good show. I see the difference. Here's what I will say, and I kind of cap my tale about my end about my piece about AEW versus WWE. WWE, the reason why remember you kind of talked about how you might see more people at a WWE show. WWE. Still kind of caters to an age group, an age category that probably is between 10 and 15. And I would say AEW is strictly 17 and up. You know what I'm
saying? And a lot of people from the sticks, based on who we were sitting
here. A lot of people rocking Daryl from Walking Dead clothes. a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, missing teeth. I'm not gonna say inbred, but you know what I'm saying. Look like I would have to ask, man. Did your mother and father did they grow up in the same household? You know what I mean, as brother and sister. You know what I mean. But it was some real interesting people there. But like I said, man, you know what I'm saying. It's a little bit of an older crowd that kind of goes to AEW.
Yeah, we and based on last night's Raw that was also here in Indianapolis that we did not go to, but. From everything I looked at it today, we didn't miss a thing. So, especially your main event is Rey Mysterio against Bobby Lashley, and that's your main event.
Damn, is it 2005?
That was your main event.
I saw that before. Right, wow.
Yeah. So, well. Other than that, John, I don't have anything else. We can finish the show.
I don't either, man. I went down all the points I had in my little notebook area. Shame on us, man. When we start talking about football, we never did talk about the NFC. We talked about the AFC dominance.
By the way, real quick, sorry, before I lost my stat, during your DCOT back and forth, I forgot to tell DCOT, I just found an interesting stat about his Alabama Crimson Tide. John, can you tell me the last time Alabama played a game in the regular season above the Mason-Dixon line?
Ooh. Was it, were we still in the 90s? Or was
2010.
It
2010.
Okay.
And okay. Do you think they won or lost that game?
I'm going to say they won.
Well, they lost, and they haven't played above the Mason-Dixon since.
Who did lose to?
Ooh.
You don't have that.
I knew you were
going to
ask that question. I don't have that. While you're talking about NFC, go ahead. I'll find it.
No, man, but like, dude, we talked about the AFC. I know that, you know what I'm saying, NFC, Cowboys leading the East, Cardinals leading the West, Packers leading the North, Buccaneers leading the South. I think, you know, of those four teams, the Packers are probably still playing the best, even with the Aaron Rodgers controversy. You know what I'm saying? The Cardinals are a little banged up with their star quarterback. I think I just don't know. I still don't know how everything's kind of going to shake out once the season progresses and you know what I'm saying, the playoffs kind of start. But if you had to ask me right now who the two best teams in the NFC are right now, I'm going with the Cardinals. And I'm still going with the Cardinals and the Packers, but the Cardinals got to get healthy.
Okay.
Other than that, why are you still looking up, man? Do I need to start sending my thank yous out now?
I can't find it. It wasn't 2010, by the way. I guess it was earlier than that. I'm just trying to figure out which day it was.
Oh, shoot. It probably was the 90s then, man. Goodness gracious, man. Dude, so I would say we had a wonderful show, man. I appreciate everybody chiming in. I've seen a lot of folks, a lot of our normal folks from Justin Powell and Tamika Borders and DCOT, you know what I'm saying, chiming in on the Facebook Live feed. Shame on Reggie. You know what I'm saying, for not calling in. He's probably scared to call in, Brandon. You've been scared him with that Miles Turner talk and criticizing his coach talk. I thought he would call in, but
I was wrong. They did play. They did win. They did win. It was at Penn State, 2011.
Okay. That's the last time they played above the Mason-Dixon line. Huh?
Your brother, Michigan, Georgia. Georgia ain't played above the Mason-Dixon since 1965.
They must have something.
Well, I take that back. They just – this is not updated. This is not updated because 2017 they did play another game, remember?
Okay.
So,
well.
Some people put on watch. Just saying.
They put them on a watch.
Yeah, so go ahead. Finish this out.
No, man, I just want to say thank you to our everybody who chimed in on the Facebook Live. I also want to say thank you to DCOT for calling in. Oh, man, and how can we do this? How can we do Crossroads Sports with our sponsors? Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, Three Wiseman Logistics, and Mavericks Custom Motorsports. How can we, like I said, how can we do Crossroads Sports with our sponsors? Everybody listen to my voice. Check out their service. Click on the links that we have on our social medias and on our Facebook, on all our social medias, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Check out the products and the services that our sponsors have to offer. You might find something. You might find a nice Christmas gift for somebody. You know, I never heard nobody give anybody insurance for Christmas. But, dude, you never
they could.
Know, you know what I'm saying? They could, like I said. And, dude, hell, even Mavericks is hiring down in Florida. Anybody looking for a job in the Florida market, in the Miami area, they're looking for I got positions open. So, again, man, short show this week. It is what it is. We've talked. I think we covered everything that we wanted to cover.
Oh, okay. I got one last thing for you. It says 10 minutes. I got one last thing for you. So, your friend came back onto Twitter this week, but I have not seen any interactions with him. Some people said that since he came back on, you've been fucking him.
I waved again.
That's just what I've been told.
Well, I haven't been listening to Dan Dockus' show, but I don't know. I'm glad he's back on Twitter. He called me a fraud.
Listen, now kick yet?
Absolutely not. Sound like he's a liar because he said he'd never go back to Twitter. You know what I'm saying? But he must be back on his happy pills, and I'm happy for him. So,
just stop.
I'm sure we'll kick it. I'm sure me and him will kick it real soon. So we'll see.
Well, John, thanks for joining us once again. It was another great show. We'll kick it back again next week, I believe. Possibly. Thanksgiving show, possibly. Coming up next week, I believe we will do on Wednesday night. We'll be back to our normal night on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Unless me and John decide to go to the Lakers game. We'll see. other than that, John, I'm going to steal your line this time from everybody. Listen for Crossroads, our sponsors, our people on Facebook Live. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads sports content.